listening to the Brick in the Wall podcast.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Brick in the Wall podcast with me, the Yorkshire Pud, Paul.
And me, Greg, the Berry Baller, back again for another instalment.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Not bad, thank you.
Yeah, weather's held out. It's really nice, isn't it?
Lovely, isn't it?
A little bird tells me could be somebody's birthday today.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Was it 50?
I was waiting for the obscene comment to follow. No, but I'm getting close. I'm not saying how old.
No, you're getting close. That close, you need an afternoon nap and woken up to be reminded that we're recording in 2 minutes.
So, listeners, if I'm a bit... Well, it's not even bleary-eyed, is it? If I'm a little bit quiet, it's because I've just been woken up. So we're ready to roll. Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah,
forgot about that.
Yeah, oh, no, indeed. Anyway, yeah, very well, thank you. I was sort of, looking down the list of what I can and can't do, so I'm still keeping my distance.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm behaving. I've been fishing because I'm allowed to. The only thing I haven't done is I haven't bought a car.
No.
I could do that as of tomorrow, can't I? Or is it today?
Tomorrow, isn't it? You can go out to a showroom, buy a new car.
Yeah.
New Land Rover.
On my list.
Well, if you get a new Land Rover, we know how far they go on a full tank of petrol now, don't we, after your little calculation last week?
We do. Yeah, there's no calculation today as well. I'm giving the public a rest.
That was only because you've slept this afternoon and forgot to do something. Anyway, we're joined again by... Well, actually, Greg.
Back by popular demand, it's Kenneth Branagh! Oh, I'm sorry, I meant Mark Denny! I never did like his work anyway.
So he's become such a regular, we've got him his own theme tune.
What an introduction.
There you go. Welcome
is
again,
that a
Mark.
Keeper? Is that a keeper?
That's a keeper. That, every time you're on, that's your theme tune.
That's wonderful. I feel very important. Far more important than I think I probably am.
Well, we've got so many listeners now. We've got to jazz things up a bit, inject some expense into the show. So
yeah, just invite Denny on. He'll spice it all up.
Yeah, exactly.
We've had that a week and we've been waiting to play it all week. We keep sending it to each other laughing.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, yeah, Mark Denny's joined us again. We're just going to have a review and a recap, really, of the week. Looking at wider opening from tomorrow, some of the announcements, and just a general chit-chat, really, Greg.
Yeah, I think that's the way forward. We're heading back in there tomorrow, or maybe you're not. And that's, I think, is the point of the discussion. Some schools are going back, some are not going back yet, or leading a wider reopening just to keep Paul quiet before he starts moaning about that statement. So there's a lot of anxiety around there. So we just thought, bringing the conversation to a head might be a thing to do today. So it'd be quite interesting to have your view as well, Mark.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because so far, a lot of these discussions we've had on the podcast have been sort of verging on negative because of all the extraordinary things that have been going on, all the drip feed of guidance and the anxiety it's caused everybody in the whole school community, from teachers through to caretakers through to the children and their parents, and governors as well, because governors are responsible. And I think that in a way tomorrow is some sort of hope that we're drawing a line under that negativity and that we're going to begin something new. It's not completely fully formed, but it's there, and the schools have worked really hard over the last couple of weeks in order to put this thing in place where there are smaller classes, there are only 3 year groups in, and they've removed so much stuff from classrooms that has to be removed because of the guidance. So it could be, the dawning of a new stage, let's say.
And I think it's there's still a lot of uncertainty out there, particularly for those in the profession. But I literally, it's quite good timing, actually, received a call earlier today before I had my nap, Paul, from a chap, a longstanding friend from the Midlands, so a completely different region to where we are. And even at this moment, on a Sunday lunchtime, he was still unsure whether to allow his daughter to return into year 10. This is, and he was saying, so he was still confused. He said, am I going to be challenged by, you know, the principal of that academy or that school? And would that lead to a fine? He was still uncertain. So just because it's in the news, we take for granted that people outside of education know what we're talking about, and they should, you know, be following the media, following what's going on at government level, and they should make their own decisions. And a poor chap, he said, the provision online has been absolutely brilliant, where his child has been, you know, learning that he's quite regimented in the organisation of what his daughter's been doing. So clearly it's worked for them. And he said, there's no point in going back. If that's the provision, I'm perfectly happy and I know she is safe.
But I think that there's two more weeks yet for year 10 as well, isn't there? I mean, the secondary schools, to be fair to them, their guidance only dropped last Monday. As far as I'm aware, actually, they've not had that many updates compared to the primaries as yet. So there's still time to make your mind up. But something Mark said there about, you know, this is a, is it a positive move or something like that? I came across a quote earlier today. It said, you know, there's been a lot of anger in the last couple of weeks, a lot of anger about going back. And for every minute you remain angry, you give up 60 seconds of peace of mind. And I think that's a true saying. That was Ralph Waldo Emerson. It's true. We can, you know, we can be angry, but we're just wasting 60 seconds of our peace of mind.
Well, I think that's interesting, because I was talking to my son earlier on about, and he's turning 16 in 2 days' time, so he would have been doing his GCSEs right now. But I was talking to him about the idea of being positive and trying to remove all the negativity so that you can make a plan, stick with it, and move forward. And I think this Dominic Cummings thing, you know, Boris has tried to do this, and actually I think we all kind of need to do it now, because we know where he stood on it. We know what it is, and we know what the government have tried to kind of manipulate, if you like. And I think it's best to just not even read about it or worry about it anymore. This is us going forward now. And I think that the going back to schools tomorrow is in some way a way of saying, right, this is what we've got to deal with. Let's deal with it. And schools are doing that.
We can't change it. You know, going to the Dominic Cummings thing, we can't change Boris's stance on that. We can remain angry about it all we want. That's not going to make a heap's worth of difference. Let's just get on with it. But I know head teachers are really, really struggling with making that call for, do we go back tomorrow? Do we go back a week's time, 2 weeks' time? What's our arrangements? And I don't think there is a right or wrong answer to this. I mean, certainly something that I've come across in the last probably 4 or 5 podcasts that we've done with guests. Actually, do you know what? You've got to do what is right for your school community at that time. It's a really difficult call for you to have to make as the leader and as the governors. But there is no right or wrong answer to this. And what worried me slightly in the last couple of days is I've seen examples where people are turning on colleagues for either opening or not opening. We've been in this together up until this point. Let's not lose that now.
I don't disagree with anything you've said. And I think the unions had a really tough journey in the last couple of weeks. They were very vocal, and quite rightly so. I don't know what happened. All went a little bit quiet at the early part of last week, and then all of a sudden it's geared up again, isn't it, the last couple of days. And they're in a hide into nothing as well, because their advice is there for its members, and then you've got school leaders who've got to make that key decision in the face of adversity. And so it's almost like the way it's been left is that the decisions are regionalised. So, you know, depending on what your R number is, that's all going quiet as well. Remember the R folks, don't forget about it. I know locally it was when we had Jo on the other evening, you know, above one for where she is, and then it's dropped the next day. You just think you're thinking about the data that's coming out about the number of deaths nationally elsewhere, and those comparisons being made. Paul, I think you had access to that information. So it's still a tricky one for leaders, and I feel for every single leader out there at the moment.
Let me come in on that one, Greg. So I think something that really bothers me is the human cost of this virus. You know, it's almost like we're becoming numb to it, and it really worries me. Just to put it in perspective, Wembley Arena holds 12,500 people. That's their capacity. So far in the UK, this virus has killed 3 times that amount. 3 times the size of Wembley Arena have been killed by this virus. Now, on Friday, Spain had 2 deaths. Italy, 87. France, 52. Sweden, 84. UK, 324 deaths. Looking at a 7-day average, Spain had 215. UK, 2,700. Should we be wider opening schools now? Releasing lockdown now?
Well, I think there's a national impatience, isn't there? And we all understand it because we're all feeling the same thing. But I don't know. I'm nervous about it. I just think there's going to be another spike. I mean, I'm trying to stay as positive as possible about what we're about to attempt in schools as of tomorrow, just in the same way as we did when we went to lockdown and we had to, from 0 to 100 miles an hour, get remote learning up and running. And it happened. It worked. And for the vast majority of schools that have adopted it well, it's been an amazing curriculum changing almost thing for those schools. And they will continue to use it, I'm sure, after all the wackiness has gone, if it ever goes. But I do think that tomorrow, you know, it's a time to get positive again and sort of say, right, we've got to do this, And it's for the children as well, because they're going to see the mindsets of the teachers, you know.
I think that's a really good point there, Mark, actually. You know, the children are going to pick up on how we are in front of them in the classrooms, welcoming them back tomorrow. And part of our job is to reassure them, to give them that confidence that actually we are going to make sure they are okay. We will do what we can to make it safe for them to be in school. The last thing we want are really worried, scared children coming back into school tomorrow morning.
Yeah. And it's bound to be, I mean, there's a lot of stuff being talked about in the news and so on about mental health because of last week being the week it was. And I do think there's going to be separation anxieties, things like this, particularly the younger children. But equally, there might be kind of over-exuberance about the fact that they're going to see their friends again and their teachers, you know, because there is definitely a bond there.
That's going to happen, Mark, isn't it? That's going to happen. You know what's going to happen tomorrow morning with young children. The first thing they're going to want to do is throw their arms around their teacher, their teaching assistant, their mates. It's just a natural instinct, but they're not going to be able to do it.
What's ironic is the schools have been open. We know that. There's been groups of vulnerable children, key worker kids, and they're used to this being in school. They know the drill. They know the routine, bless them. They've abided by the rules that have been laid down. So, you know, I've seen, we've got tape on the floor, 2 meters apart. They queue up, they come in, they straight in, wash hands, hide, they go to the workspaces that have been set out. Those kids are drilled to it and it works. And I said something the other week about, but the school is there. So that group of 13 have been in, and they've got the whole of the academy to themselves and it's theirs. Interesting. So what's it going to be like tomorrow when there are other groups factored in? Because that little group have got their routine. They are well behaved. They are well managed. They're well cared for.
Battle ready.
Supported. Absolutely. Yeah. They're used to that. So what I expect to see is that those children, once they're over this initial stage and this initial anxiety, this routine will become, you know, a certain type of standard norm to them, I suppose. But it's around teachers being effective in their role over this first 5 days of opening, because they've got to make it successful.
You see, this is really interesting because I think it's about personalities, because different personalities have a different response to these kind of situations, obviously. And in the last 12 weeks, I have not been to Tesco's or Sainsbury's or anything like that. I've been to local shops. I've had certain things delivered. And I find that all stressful. Other people I know are around there almost every day, Tesco's getting stuff. Now, they may be different to me. They may have larger families and they need to do that because obviously they get through food. But I think some children coming back to school are going to feel very stressed about it because of all the things that get said that not necessarily to them, but they overhear, you know, and everyone's been talking about it for 12 weeks. So goodness me, they're going to hear all sorts of things. So I do think there's a little bit of unknown, and I think that people have to be a bit cautious about what exactly is going to happen tomorrow.
And I think that's where Joe's community curriculum or the recovery curriculum really, really comes into this. We've got to make sure that we're not just jumping straight in with the English and mathematics tomorrow, because tomorrow is not a normal day. It is not a normal start of school. It's not like September. It is very, very different. And we have got to support those children, make that transition from learning at home back into learning in school in the safest way possible.
And it's almost like an aspect of this is, you know, to term a phrase, jailbreak. Those children have been in those homes for 8-9 weeks. They've not been anywhere else. Tomorrow, suddenly in their minds, they're free. We're going back to school. So, you know, I know a lot of colleagues have been talking around adaptation to behaviour policy, or, you know, specific changes around COVID and the management of it. So there's a certain element of seriousness around those first steps into that building. Once the checks have been done, once they're in, there's got to be not a stern message, but a very clear message around the expectation. And that's a difficult thing to do with young children. So it's got to be done in a particular way so that they hear the message and that message is reinforced as regular as possible, because, bless them, those kids are going to forget. They are going to forget, you know, you know, they retain a certain amount of information, and break time is the worry for me, because they will go back to reset, back to default. Break time, we're free, let's play. And that's where there's going to be an element of risk.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because it's adults as well, you know. I mean, I was in a school on Friday where there was only a couple of children and a handful of staff. I was in there to do my day job, which is IT support. And she had a problem, this head teacher had a problem with her laptop. And it's one of those things where I have to kind of look over her shoulder, but I can't look from a distance because I just can't see anything. I'm old. You know, and so you've kind of got to get in there or move them out of the way. But if you move them out of the way, then you can't see the thing that they're actually wanting to show you. You know, it's there are going to be some very frustrating situations, I think.
If you've got problems with your eyesight, Mark, a drive to Barnard Castle can help.
There we go.
Apparently so. I the trouble is, it's quite a long way from here. I don't know if I could justify 250 miles or 350 or whatever it is.
He'd certainly have to stop at every petrol station as well, wouldn't he? Not just stop to fill
up. Yeah. Bringing us back to something a bit more serious, Greg. Interesting article in The Guardian today from Miranda Sawyer, who was talking about teaching. She's been teaching at home. She's been teaching her daughter at home. And she said, do you know what? Actually, I think I've done an okay job of it. Probably not up to Ofsted standards, but I've done an okay job. But she said, people got to realise that that's only part of the job of a teacher. You know, it is not the whole job. That's the nice part, is the teaching, but actually the organisation. And she actually called it life admin. You know, as a parent, you're the taxi driver, you're the PA, you're the cook, the cleaner, the, you know, organisation is 90% of the job. And actually in schools, for the teacher, that's probably the same. Organisation of the children. Where do they hang their coat up? Where do they sit? What's the routine for coming in? That has all changed for tomorrow or whenever schools open more widely. We can't underestimate the size of the task that has been there for heads and their staff up and down the country, putting these steps into place and these procedures and organisational issues that they've been addressing. It's huge.
I think it's interesting for me because I'm not an educator. I'm certainly not a head teacher, but all this drip feed of guidance and so on. And I've been, you know, sporadically going into schools to do things and seeing the enormous amount of physical work that's been done to adapt schools. I think, you know, myself, I thought, oh, we just reopen smaller classes. That's it. But no, these classrooms are particularly in the early years where it's a tactile way of learning. Things are being removed wholesale. I mean, massive boxes of stuff, you know, resources and toys and, you know, role play stuff that the children use in early years, all been removed because they can't guarantee it can be cleaned properly. Yeah. between classes or whatever. And that to me is a massive task. I don't think anyone who's not in education, they just wouldn't know that. They wouldn't know all the stuff that's been done.
And there's some good things online where certain professionals have posted photographs of classrooms, like a pre and a post. Do you know what I mean? This is what it looked like right. When the children were here back when, and this is what they're going to walk into tomorrow. And it really is a stark comparison. And it's quite sad, really, because your learning environment is a key thing to drive the success of your classroom. You know, you walk into a teacher's classroom and, you know, sometimes less is more when we look at knowledge-based curriculum, for example. And some schools are adopting the attitude where, you know, the classroom is like the workshop where all the learning takes place, and the corridors are the display of all the great work. Now, the display of the great work is probably still there, but when you go into that classroom, you know, which is the real buzz pot of a school where, you know, where we do our day job, that's really, really bare compared to what it normally is. It will grow and it will get better because we'll get used to what the offer is and what it's looking like. But that's different and alien to a teacher and a TA. It's not where they normally work.
No, not at all. I mean, the classrooms are probably sanitized is the best way of putting it, you know, and all the soft furnishings and that. And, you know, if you're in EYFS, the cuddly toys, the soft toys, they're all been removed because they can't be cleaned every day. And I think that's part of the reason why some schools up and down the country are saying no uniform, because I can't expect you as a parent to wash that uniform every night. So there are some schools that are saying, actually, look, until we're fully back up and running, no uniform. Don't worry about the uniform bit. Fresh clothes every day, though. I think principals and head teachers that are opening tomorrow or open in 2 weeks' time shouldn't be beating themselves up. You know, I've seen some on Twitter about, I'm feeling really guilty, I'm not opening tomorrow, or I'm feeling guilty, I am opening tomorrow. Stop beating yourselves up. You have made a really tough decision and you would have made the right decision for your school. Anybody want to come in and bail me out here?
No, because you said it. That's
yeah,
the bottom
line.
You said it, you know, and you sit on and you look at Twitter and you flick through the roll and see who's saying what, and you just, everyone has got something valid to say. And I think the point you made at the outset, Mark, about actually we just got to let it go. Just, you know, this is the situation we're in. We've now got to manage it. And that's actually what principals and school leaders are actually really good at. Right. Okay. What scenario are we in now? What are we going to do? You know, you think about when you have an interview for a leadership post in middle leadership, senior leadership, you know, they give you situations and scenarios about how you manage this on a particular day. So it's the good old one where you've got an in-tray task and there are 25 things happening all at the same time, 8 o'clock. Never happens really like that, but you've got to process your decision-making and your thinking and produce a, you know, an organised, orderly decision-making.
It's interesting because in all of this, the last whatever, how many weeks or months, there's been a high tone of emotional response. And actually what you just described, Greg, is about that professionalism kicking in. So heads saying, right, I've got to lead this. We've got to go somewhere with this. And we can't be just moaning and complaining and saying, it's not fair. We've just got to get on with it, you know.
And you can do that behind a closed door. You can have your personal thoughts and your anxieties, and you share that with your family,
like this
or the close people, or the podcasts. It's a good one. But it's like cleansing for us. But yeah, you put your game face on, don't you? This is what we're going to do, and it's got to be led. Someone has got to do it. And you're the person in the chair. You're the decision maker. You're going to drive this. And yes, decisions are going to be different, but we've just got to be respectful of the situation that people are in. Bottom line, that's it.
And support each other, you know, not just in our own schools, but outside of our schools. You know, we've got to support each other in our locality because people would have made different decisions. We don't judge them for it. We work together for the interests of the children.
Absolutely. And whatever sector, whatever phase, you know, we've spoken to people on this show from overseas. We spoke across different age ranges. We've spoken to people working in the independent sector. It doesn't matter because COVID has hit everybody. So, you know, make your decision. Now, of course, we've got to come out of lockdown at some point. And I think the argument is here is, you know, the decision has been made and we're questioning that decision, aren't we? But we've always said, you know, we're open. We're ready to come back. You just tell us when. The fact that we disagree with the time at which we're being asked to do that is probably, you know, the focus of all of this anxiety. But, you know, what we don't want to do is then, as you said, Mark, earlier, have a spike and then turn around and say to government, told you so. Because that really will create angst in society, and that's not healthy.
It serves no purpose to do that either, does it?
No, it's tricky because the timing, as you say, Greg, is so subjective. And I know we've got the objectivity of the science, but in a way, no one can fully agree on the science. And as you also said, it's localised. We've got different R number in different areas of the country. So it's going to be a little bit sort of touchy-feely, isn't it? We don't really know what's going to happen. We'll have to just sort of wait and see. And if a spike happens, it happens.
The interesting one is going to be, and I don't really want to say this, but this is a point to discuss, is when there is a COVID outbreak in a school. That's the point at which, you know, the media hype around going back is enough. What's it going to be like? Who's going to turn first? And that's not going to be good for anyone. Obviously not those people who are going to be, you know, involved in those institutions where an outbreak happens, because I'm pretty sure it's going to happen.
it's almost inevitable, isn't it, that there is going to be an outbreak of some description in a school somewhere. Doesn't necessarily mean to say that it's been caught in school. It could have come from outside. You just don't know. But I think it is going to happen. I think what's important is the way in which we as a profession react to that. Because we could go back to being totally negative again. I told you so. But go back to my point earlier. What purpose is that going to serve?
He's leading us into science. You're on fire today, Paul. drops a bomb, looks at us at the screen. Right, you two, respond to that.
Yeah, run with it.
Well, he's put that one to bed, isn't he, Mark? That's another one from Sir Paul. Good Lord, don't argue with him today. Yeah, okay. All right, that's done. Back to you, Paul.
All right, sorry about that. Anyway, listen, thought we would play a little game just to liven things up a bit. Education word association. Greg versus Mark. Now, I'm going to throw a word out. We'll start with Greg. Greg, you've got to give me a word associated with it. It will all be to do with schools. If it's right.
Yep.
If it's wrong. Okay.
Hold on a minute. Can I just point out that I'm just a lowly tech. He's a head teacher.
It makes no difference.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll have something to offer.
Oh, okay. Dear. This is very stressful. My heart's racing. Go on.
I'm sweating because I don't know what either of you are going to say. Okay, you've got to be quick. Okay, you've got to be quick.
Right, Sunday afternoon. Okay, got to be quick on a Sunday afternoon. Right, come on in.
Greg, you're going first. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
Teach.
Learn.
Words.
Books.
Reading.
Writing.
Arithmetic.
Are we just going to go through the subjects here?
Science.
Tests.
What?
Scientists.
Rubbish.
I panic. Especially when Greg's there going, come on, fuck. Come on. Let's do this now. Come on.
That was all right. That was going quite well then.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's try
one more. Plan.
Teach.
Projector.
Interactivity.
Community.
Cohesion.
Hesitation. Next word. Are you ready? Okay. So, Mark, you're up. Staff room.
Coffee.
Relaxation.
If you can see what I can see.
I want to say that I know I can't. That's the problem.
2-0 to Greg. Right, last one. Are you ready? Greg, office.
Leader.
Deputy head.
Structure.
3-0 to Greg.
Oh, hesitation.
Anyway, that's a new segment. Word association, education word association. Doesn't work very well, but we have a great bit of fun doing it.
How many takes was it?
That was 3 takes. Yeah. People, you will not hear the other two. I cannot possibly put those into a podcast. Anyway,
brilliant.
Guess what time it is?
Confessional.
It is. Now, it's me this week. And I've got to confess, to anybody listening to this, you are not going to find this very funny. But I am. And I may not get to the end of the story without laughing about it, because I tend not to be able to. So I was... The problem is, you see, I've got these two looking at me while I'm trying to tell it, and that in itself is off-putting. I was a deputy head, and we took a group of children away to Matlock, to a youth hostel association out there. Fantastic week. Coming back, we went to the swimming baths in Mansfield. Kids all went off swimming. They had a great time, absolutely brilliant time. And I'm stood outside gathering all the kids together. Out came from the change rooms, because one kid, he said, sir, he said, there's no toilet wrong. And just at that moment, an attendant came by. So I said to the attendant, I said, oh, excuse me. I said, there's no toilet roll in the boys. Could you put a toilet roll in there, please? Yeah, no problem. I'll go and get it. I'll do it in a second. So the kid goes to wait in. Next thing, this one kid comes out with a face like thunder. I mean, he was angry, really angry. I said, what's the matter? He said, can't find me socks, sir. And then shortly followed by another lad who walks out and goes, sir, someone's put some socks in the toilet. They've got a poo stain all over them. So he's found a pair of socks. Couldn't wait for the tissue and use the socks.
Could you explain that to the owner of the socks, or should I say the parents of the owner of the
best,
socks?
The best of it was his cousin that had nicked his socks.
Keep it in the family.
Oh, anyway, there you go.
What was the explanation to the parents? Oh, he skidded on the games field.
we just told them, and they took it rather well. But ever since then, I just can't tell a story without laughing. Oh, dear me, and crying. Tickles me. It's a funny story. Anyway, there you go. That's a confession from me.
Nice one.
I enjoyed that.
Mark, any final words?
Final words? My final words would be, tomorrow's another day. Let's go for it.
Craig?
Wherever you are tomorrow, whatever you're doing, whether you're open, whether you're closed, whether you're teaching a group, whether you are leading a group from home via Teams or whatever, just really good luck for tomorrow, because you need it, and I think we should all be thinking about each other tomorrow. So best of luck to everyone, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely right. Good luck if you're in tomorrow. If you're not, good luck for when you are back into school. I'm just going to leave you with a quote. I'm not going to be negative, but it's a funny, I just found it funny, it tickled me. Mike Stewbury, if this was a game of Civilization, you'd restart. Thanks very much for listening. Wrong one.
So this is another all-nighter for you, Paul.
Oh, God. Don't forget, you can subscribe on Apple. Oh.
Needs to be the unedited version. Right.
Thanks very much for listening. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google, and Spotify. And you can follow us on Twitter at Brick in Wall Pod, or Facebook at the Brick in the Wall Podcast. Thanks for listening.